Our scripture reading is from John 20, and you're welcome to follow as it comes up on your screen. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." What does the word faith leave with you? What do we mean when we talk about beliefs? I think that all of us will help give a different answer to this question. But maybe just some wonderings. Is faith a kind of leap in the dark? Is it to do things in the name of the Lord? Is it to be positive or optimistic? Is it to say creeds of faith? Paul defines faith as the confidence in what we hope for, and an assurance about what we don't see. I think that's where Thomas finds himself. Thomas was a man of faith. He knew Jesus. He lived with Jesus. He had a confidence in Jesus. He trusted him while he could see him. The first time we meet Thomas is in John 11. The religious leaders wanted to persecute and kill Jesus. And when Jesus learns that his friend Lazarus has become seriously ill, he decides to return to the danger zone, there where these leaders are. And obviously the disciples are surprised. They try to convince him otherwise, but Jesus insists. And then it's interesting, Thomas is the one who says, "Okay, let's go with him so that we can die with him. If they kill him, they must kill us as well. We'll go." What a commitment. What a commitment. The next time we read about Thomas is at the Last Supper with Jesus before his death, John 13 to 14. While they were still eating, Jesus stood up. Do you remember that? And he takes off his robe. He wraps the servant's towel around his waist and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And on this occasion, it is Thomas who's not too proud to say, "God, Lord, we don't understand what you are saying," because Jesus in that moment tells them, "You know the way that I'm going." Thomas is the one who has the courage to ask what everyone thinks. "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how do we know the way?" And it's in that moment that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life." That courage, that honesty, that openness of Thomas in that moment. And then the third and final time is this encounter in today's scripture. The Bible doesn't tell us why Thomas wasn't there the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples. But if I have a look at the testimonies about him in the rest of this gospel, I can't help but think that maybe it was because Thomas was a realist. You know, he's decided what's done is done. What has happened has happened. And maybe he was courageously trying to just get on with his life after all that has happened. But then he hears about this experience that the disciples had with Jesus, the risen Christ. And perhaps it wasn't really just doubt in that space that caused him to say, I'll believe it when I see it and when I touch him. But perhaps this also came from a deep desire to have the experience that they had. If you've seen him, then I want that too. And then Jesus, he meets him in that desire. Jesus comes to him and gives that to him. Jesus received a new body when he was resurrected. But it's interesting, he kept his wounds. And he says to Thomas, come then. He wasn't there. Thomas didn't see him Thomas didn't experience Jesus in that moment where he said, I want to touch him. I want to put my finger in his side. But Jesus knew that this is what Thomas said. And Jesus says these words, come put your finger in the wound so that you can feel and that you can see that it is I. And in that moment, Thomas's response is, my Lord and my God. He believes. He doesn't even touch him, just realizes it's him. And then Jesus says, one of the translations changes this last verse into a question and asks him, do you believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This verse is the gift of this encounter with the risen Jesus. The gift of faith and experience is not just for the disciples. We see that God freely gives it to a Thomas as well. But it's not just for Thomas and for the disciples. It's also for us, for you and I. Jesus blesses everyone who believes, even if you have not seen. We are the point of this story. Jesus in this moment turns towards us who have not seen and he blesses us. He blesses us. Blessed are you who have not seen, but you still believe. Blessed are you who have made mistakes. You cannot see the future, but you believe that you've been given a second chance. You are forgiven. Blessed are you who need to make a decision that you know will change your life enormously. You can't see what it's going to look like and how things will turn out, but you believe that you are not alone and that he gives you wisdom. You are blessed. Blessed are you who stand by the grave of a loved one. You have uncertainty about what tomorrow will bring. You cannot see, but you believe that nothing, not even death, can separate you from God's love. You are blessed. This is faith. This is faith. When I have a firm confidence in the fact that I'm loved, that God is with me, that he gives me everything I need, that he has a plan and a dream for my life, that he invites me to discover this way of life, to learn it, to live it, to receive it. That he takes care of me. He's my strength in my moment of weakness. That no sadness or tragedy or depression or event can separate me from him. This is faith. And maybe today you're thinking, how do I get this? I don't have this. How do I get this firm trust? Well, you can't generate it. You can't produce it. I can't work it up. I cannot cultivate faith in myself because faith is a gift from God. That is what Paul says in Ephesians 2. Faith is a gift. Faith is a reaction. It's not an action. When I open the door of my life to accept, to trust, to hope, to surrender, to obey, even if I can't see what's going to happen, then God meets me there and he brings faith. He brings trust. He brings hope. It is a gift. It is a gift. Receive it. Because when you receive, it's something that grows in you. We live in a world that conditions us that only what we can prove or what we can see or what we can find evidence for exists. This is the only reliable method to discern truth. This way of thinking controls our education system, medicine, technology. And in essence, there's nothing wrong with these because we reap the benefits of this in our daily lives. Science is God's idea. But there's also a world that exists that we cannot see, but they don't oppose one another. Faith and science are not against one another, but they include and complement one another. Jesus meets us in science, in evidence, in proof. He meets us who, like Thomas, needs that. But he also meets us who live with that mystery and faith because we can't see. Oh, I have not seen yet. He feeds the 5,000 physically. He gives food that you can touch and eat. But he also says, I'm the bread of life. He makes a blind man see. He heals. Eyewitnesses see this, but he also says, I am the light of the world. He gives us his word, the scriptures, which we can touch and read every day. But he also says, I'm the word that lives in you. He is the one who has died and rose again. Reliable sources confirm this. But he also promises, I'm with you every day now through my spirit. Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Faith encompasses our entire world. Our life. When I get in the car and I drive in the left lane, I have faith that the others will not drive in my lane. Faith encompasses everything. And the invitation is to go on a journey so that faith can grow and deepen. And how does that happen? Well, a few practical ways to grow in faith. Get to know Jesus. Thomas followed Jesus. He ate with him. He talked to him. He lived with him. So the moment when doubt came his way, he could be honest before Jesus with his deepest self. And in that encounter, recognize. Cry out, my Lord, my God. The proof that I thought I needed, it doesn't matter anymore. Because now I recognize, I know you. Get to know Jesus. Get to know him through scripture. John writes this encounter in the same gospel with which he begins and says, I write this as an eyewitness. We've seen, touched, experienced him. Read and learn from the eyewitnesses. Read the Gospels. They are reliable sources. You can listen to sermons. You can follow devotions. But start reading the Gospel so that you can get to know Jesus. Grow in faith by sharing your faith journey with someone else. Thomas stayed with his faith community, with the disciples. Did you see that? Even though he missed that first experience, he stayed with them. They had conversations about it. 8 days later only, Jesus appears again. And he listened to their testimony of faith and experience with Jesus, and it moved something within him. That desire grew. I want this. I want to believe. I want to see. Don't go on the journey of faith on your own. I think this is why Jesus, when he comes into our life, he always brings people with him. I would never be standing here today if it wasn't for people along the way who, when my faith really took a knock, came alongside me, and somehow their faith encouraged me and helped me to get started again. 3 or 4 times this has happened to me. And I realize I desperately need others to walk with me. Grow in faith by putting it into practice immediately. Jesus says to Thomas, touch me. Thomas responds there. His faith grows in that moment. Whatever faith you have, however small, however big, practice it in your life. You don't need a lot of faith because we serve a big God. A little faith in a great God is much better than having great faith in little gods like money. This weekend I made homemade pizzas. I tried a new recipe for the dough. I watched how a small packet of yeast was activated by a little warm water and some sugar. It helped fill a bowl with dough. The power of that yeast is that like that of the little clove of garlic I added to the pizza sauce. It was such a small amount compared to the large can of tomato sauce. But as the pizza baked in the oven, the fragrance aroma of that little clove of garlic filled the room. Now scripture tells us that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, maybe a small pinch of yeast or a clove of garlic. The impact of our faith may start small, but it can grow, and it can grow into something big. Just as a seed or yeast or the flavor of garlic grows to its full potential under the right circumstances, the kingdom of God grows through every small contribution of faith and trust. So act in faith. Act in faith no matter how small your faith is today, and you'll find it growing. Just start. Start by talking to God every day. When you start talking to God, you act in faith. Start by spending time as often as you can meditating on scripture. When you are doing that, you're acting in faith. Maybe tomorrow morning, you will struggle to get out of bed because of an extreme feeling of hopelessness. Act in faith just a little. Get up. Just stand up. It's an incredible step for some people just to get up, to face the day, trusting that Jesus is with you. Get up. That's a small act of faith. It'll start growing. Maybe you're not talking to your husband or your wife right now. Maybe an exercise of faith or just to talk to her or to him, to touch him or to touch her again. That's an act of faith. Or it's getting in touch with someone who's desperately, desperately hurting right now. When you do that, you're acting in faith. The wonderful news is that scripture says that God promises that all the resources he has is available to us to do this. The strength, the courage, the energy, the power, the hope, the grace. You can have a firm confidence in him. You are not alone. So where are you today? Are you in a place of doubt? In a place where I have this deep desire, Lord, I need to see, I want to believe again. Can you trust that God meets you in that desire? Open your eyes. Look for him. Pay attention. He's seeking you until he finds you. He's going to find you. Will you let yourself be made found? Are you in a place where you think, my faith is too small? What is going to help? Start. Just start. One small act of faith can have a massive impact on the kingdom of God. Or maybe you've never, ever, ever spoken out loud what you believe. And I want to invite you to pray with me today. Lord, you are the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the name above all names. We confess that today. We confess that. We believe that you are our Savior, that you died, but that you rose again. We believe in life everlasting and that you invite us to live in your kingdom, to experience this life, this another way of life every single day. We want to follow you. We want to get to know you. We want to grow in our love for you, Lord. We turn our lives towards you. We trust in you. We accept you as our Savior. We surrender to you. We admit that we don't know what is best, but that you know because you are God. We surrender and we want to obey. We want to be obedient to you and act in this faith and bring your hope and your peace and your love and your grace into this world so that your kingdom will grow. Thank you that we can be witnesses to that. Thank you that we can be co-partners, co-workers in that. Thank you that we can take part in it, Lord. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a prayer request today or you'd like to speak to someone, please send us an email. You can phone our pastoral care line and some of our team members are available to pray with you, be with you, listen and speak with you today. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of His Spirit remain with us all forevermore. Amen.